right. Well, welcome to it's almost like a Christmas special of a Flip Your Friday. We're kind of closing the year out, and I wanted to take an opportunity to just kind of go over some of the guests that we went through this year. There was some amazing litany of guests, and I kind of want to go with you and just go in order of some of the guests that came on this year. And I kind of want to I'll say some things that kind of triggered me when I think of that person and that particular podcast that we did. And then what I'd like you to do, Casey, is almost reshape it from a business perspective. So I may or may not trigger a specific business perspective, but for you, I want you to kind of shape it in that way, if that's all right.
So people listening, we're recording on a Saturday. This is a Saturday before Christmas. And if you're getting this on your podcast, what it's Spotify or whatever the other ones are, you're probably thinking, gosh, you guys have had some really good guests. Why the fuck am I going to listen to you two fucking ramble on?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And that's a really good question. So our goal here is to take 20 minutes, kind of recap on every guest that we've had. And honestly, like, I was looking at this before we were going to kind of jump on air. Yeah. We've only had 7 guests this year. So one of the things we'll do at the end is talk about what our plan is to how to really do this better for next year.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
let's just jump right in.
Yeah. So let's Coach Brennan, head coach of San Jose State. Really cool. Obviously you being from San Jose State, they have a bowl game that we're going to be attending up in Idaho, the Potato Bowl, I believe it is. When I think about that interview, a couple things come to mind that were current and that were fun. There was 3 really. He always would talk about this concept of extra, doing the extra. And for him, he said that his extra was people and that he always makes himself available. And I thought that for me, that was one thing that I gleaned from that. The other 2 things were just kind of getting
into. Let's go one at a time. Okay. So,
yeah.
So with that, one of my takeaways was from a business perspective, the culture side of it. So when he came into San Jose State, we talked a lot about is moving the flywheel, and it's the hardest part of moving the flywheel is that first component of it. So when you're talking about people and changing culture, it really does start with him, but there's this permeating view of like, you got to bring other people that have that energy, the enthusiasm. So that whole thing, you talk about people and culture, that goes to every industry, every business, every employee. I mean, you're talking not only about a football program, but that has so many tentacles in life. And I thought that was super impressive by him to be able to change what's typically not necessarily a powerhouse.
He literally disrupted culture. I mean, he's in a friggin' bowl game. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And building on that and his ability to build success in this landscape today. We talked about NIL deals and we talked about the transfer portal. Just narrowing into the college football and what he has to do as a coach and a leader of the program to succeed. What's your thoughts on this?
Well, it's interesting, right? The NIL. We talked, I thought, in the interview, which was really interesting. And part of what we're doing is recapping the entire year. Hoping if you didn't listen to one of the episodes, maybe go back and check one out. That's a shameless plug right there. But we're gonna toast here. This is gonna a little more casual. So we're sitting here on a Saturday and
cheers to the audience. Yeah, as well, by the way.
And to us, I guess that's one thing. So
God, that's really delicious.
That's really good. So anyway, what we were talking about is Brennan being in this new college football era. So he's worked on the people. He's got the culture moving. He's got San Jose into a bowl game. But we talked about NIL, which is basically how do you pay players? So now that's legal. And it was interesting. It seems like in talking to Brennan, there's so much unknown with it.
Yeah.
You know, and even some of my relationships at San Diego State, I just realized there is so much that is to be determined on all of this stuff.
Look, I was talking to an athletic director and his response on and perspective on the NIL world is it's a melee right now. It's truly a melee. It's the Wild West. There's no regulation at all, and they're trying to figure it out as they go along. So I hope that it shapes into something a little more formative.
So one, I'm not sure. One thing I'll add to that when you talk about the context of business as it applies to this NIL is that things come up, things change, business changes, the world economics change, the environment changes in whatever career you're in or your personal life. You got to be flexible. You got to be nimble. You got to start asking questions, trying to understand it, not being so stuck in one direction necessarily. I think he was really open to, hey, this thing is going to do what it's going to do, both from the portal perspective and the NIL's perspective. One thing I thought was super interesting was this idea of portal as it applies to college football was how high the percentage was of guys that go into the portal that lose their scholarship.
And don't make it, and they're screwed on both ways. You hear about the success stories, but there are hundreds of kids who are unhappy. This, which just goes to another thing I want to touch immediately, is look, you're a freshman. You don't get the start. What kind of culture is this kind of manifesting in a way where, you know, there's got to be a distinction between, you know, if you meet with failure a little bit, you don't just go to a transfer portal to try to get something done. You try to fight through it. And there's like this, I don't know, I think it's disruptive in that sense, too, of teaching these kids how not to stick with something and try to win. And I think it's a problem.
I loved the Brennan interview. I wish more people would go back and watch that one, because his enthusiasm for every single thing he does, yeah, is it's infectious. And I just appreciate him a lot, just not only because I went there, but in meeting him and just seeing how much he cares and his passion towards every single thing he's doing. And he truly cares about those young men.
You know what? We'll end there and go to the next guest. But I will say that, you know, one of the things that I know, knowing, you know, getting to know Brennan a little more, is just that he's genuine. And I thought at first, to be honest, that was actually going to play against him. Because I feel like he's so authentic, he's so reachable, that might have been the opposite effect for a team. I didn't know if he was going to win.
Well, it's interesting. I think, and again, we'll wrap on this, yeah, but I do think that the world has changed, and because of social media and the connectivity of people, they do want to feel closer to their head coach. Maybe way back in our day when we were playing with leather helmets. I think it was a little bit different, where head coaches, at least from my experience, were a little bit more standoffish, yeah, a little bit more like they had this idea of I'm the head coach,
yeah,
of Division I program. Yeah. And I think today it's more of a players type coach that is resonating with younger people.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So let's move on to number two.
Yeah, number two, Jay Valentine. Wow. I mean, you want to talk about a smooth cat.
Man, I tell you.
I mean, I've never seen a guy move the way he moves. Everything, and I'm saying this in the best of ways, everything just seems so like calculative and precisional. It's phenomenal. Two things that I want to bring up, and then you just reflect on it. Two things that come to mind. Number one, when you asked him, hey, look, I'm a business guy. This creative stuff is kind of a new, not my territory. How do you make a song? Like what the hell goes into, how do you make a song? How do you create? And I'll never forget. He just sat there and went, boom, you know what? It starts with imagination. It's like David Blaine, so to speak, and he just touched on that. And for me that was eye opening, because it's imagination.
Well, I agree, and that was super interesting. I think one of the things we're talking about today is what our perspective was as the people interviewing these guests, and I think one of the things with Jay was how he made us feel so comfortable. It's an arena in an area where I don't have any experience or really any knowledge on how that creative side of the brain works, and specifically in the music industry.
Yeah.
And he was almost answering questions that he was like, you guys should be asking these questions. So he was
helping
super,
us.
Yeah, he was super smooth. That was a great interview. One, because, and with all of our guests, I think we learn something every single time.
Yes.
But with him, because it was in such a different arena from what we've done before from a interview perspective,
yeah,
we were coming at it. Like a lot of times in sports, we know enough about sports to ask more advanced questions, but we were coming at it from this one on, gosh, let's start at the very top, yeah, like how you know, the creative and how the industry works and things like that. I was fascinated by his take.
You know what's been
take?
Fun? Just reflecting and watching that a couple times now that I have. If you look at the comments on that particular feature, they were all, a lot of the audience that we didn't know about. I mean, there's thousands of views on that. And they said, God, we never knew about this. We never knew Jay Valentine as a human, so to speak, as a person. Thank you for this. There was a lot of comments from the audience saying, look, this is something that's rich.
His story about his dad coming out of prison, getting them a deal.
I mean, come on.
I mean, it's fascinating. If you haven't listened to that one, his personal story and then how he kind of articulates it into his experience in the music industry now was worth listening to.
Army knife. And now it's super cool. I think that he's got this number one hit with Tank.
Do we get any, are there any royalties? Remember we made a joke about that when we were talking about royalties?
You know what, Jay?
No. But do you remember how serious he got?
Yeah, he did.
So I think you made a joke about royalties from this. He said, no.
No.
I mean, just a straight up fucking cold.
That's a good point.
Stone cold. No. Yeah. No, I'm not paying you a goddamn thing.
That was good. Yeah, slow is the song that is just crushing it. So it's really fun to like, we see that and all of a sudden this guy just fucking
launches. Well, the other thing too, a lot of people don't know is that we'll do a podcast. Some people, most of the time our guests are coming from out of town. So we're coordinating schedules. And with Jay, he was coming from LA and he brought his girlfriend. Lisa's, you know, again, then we went out after and had a great time. So what we're doing is typically meeting, doing the podcast. We'll meet before, do the podcast, and then we'll go out after. And every single thing that he was doing was just Jay Valentine's his name, but Jay Smooth is Jay who Smooth. This motherfucker is.
Jay Smooth.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'll lull you right to sleep, which kind of puts me into the next guest we had.
There you go.
Which I call him the sleep whisperer. I don't know what
you would. That's his nickname. Yeah.
Right. I mean, the thing that I gleaned from him was actually really interesting. He talked about something called like network marketing. It was something to the extent of, and the extent of it was, his point was, just to sum it up, was that in the sales business, it doesn't matter as much as what the product is as the person who's selling the product, that people will buy something if they like you. And they went on to say that, and it kind of goes to almost neurolinguistics type stuff where, you know, they also like people that are, people like to be liked in the way that they see themselves. So if you mirror a person, for example, you're able to actually create some sort of genuine connection, and that can make a sale. What's your take on that? I thought it was really interesting.
Well, an example that he used, which I thought was interesting, was taking this COVID moment in time. And what he did was rearrange how he was doing the sales of mattresses. And he was doing, instead of having open office hours where, you know, people can kind of come in and go, he was starting to do VIP one-on-one hourly, what he called consultations, where he was doing what you were talking about, where he's kind of mirroring and getting to know like more in depth as far as what these people were looking for. And also this VIP experience, right? Like, I thought that was really interesting. So there are a lot of places to buy a mattress, including online. So he's competing with a lot of different people, and he's that now kind of gone into this VIP exclusive, looking at what the person may or may not need or is not getting, or at least answers to some of this stuff, and then giving them a custom solution one-on-one versus opening up a showroom, which is what everyone else does.
You know what I've noticed too, just in the area of sleep, the importance of it is there starts to be a little more of a narrative these days that I see of the role that sleep plays in your health. And I think we touched a little bit, but you know, it really is important. Like, you start learning about the various, your sleep patterns and what you have to hit, your REM sleep, and the role of sleep is very important for health, both mentally and physically.
And also for your longevity. There's a lot of studies that have been done, a lot of them recent, that the quality of sleep and the length of sleep, people just, it's less than a certain percent. I think it's less than 5% or maybe even less than that, that can live off of 5 hours of sleep, right? Yeah. And that used to be kind of similar. Like, back in the day, you used to look at it and you're like, if you're sleeping for 8 hours, you're weak. And it was looked at like that.
It was like water at football practice, right? Oh, I'm not going to drink the water. The coach wouldn't let you drink water.
But in that particular interview, it was interesting because that was at the end of what ended up being our longest podcast, because he had such a great story and it was so in depth.
A character.
he's a character. Yes, absolutely. But I think at the end, we started getting into a lot of the health and some of his insights and expertise on what good quality sleep looks like and the impact that it has on a lot of different things, including performance and success and longevity and all those different things.
Which goes to business. If you're trying to be a successful entrepreneur or businessman, then understand that sleep's important, you know?
Yeah.
And a little booze, actually. I'm going to take a sip, too.
Well, this is, there's health benefits to this, I think. Yeah, this is a casual. We're gonna be posting this on New Year's Eve, so this is the last Friday of 2022.
Yeah.
So cheers to a happy new year.
Yeah,
safe and happy new year. All right, well, let's roll into who's guest number four.
Yeah, I think we got Marlon Webb. Marlon Webb, who is a social media influencer. I wouldn't coin that, just out of respect for him, as that such, because he's also a true thespian. I mean, I think that he truly believes in his art.
A thespian.
An actor.
Okay.
Yeah. But I believe he really sees himself as an actor.
I will tell you, so from where I sit, because one of the things is not necessarily just recapping the episodes, but what our experience was in those episodes, it was interesting because as you introduced him, which is, it is kind of hard to introduce him. And you were talking about social media influencer. I saw him distinctly kind of get like, no, that's not what I am.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting to be on the other side of it where I think you could sense it as you were saying it. And then you kind of like try to hurry up along. Like,
yes.
Oh shit, wait a minute. Hold on. You're an actor. You're doing this and this. And then he kind of, and you're like, well, how would you clarify?
Yeah.
He basically then right away was like, here's what I think.
And what's fascinating is the role. This is the one thing I really gleaned from him, because he's got millions of followers. Right. And
I think he said 6 million, right?
Yeah. It's something crazy. Right.
Yeah.
And his whole take on the role of Instagram and mental health, that it literally, he felt like he was clinically depressed because of Instagram. And this is why he felt that he played a certain character and he built his own prison within that. And his creative went away basically because he was starting to try to almost engage with his audience because that's what you're supposed to do. And yet it was almost like dance, do this, do that, do that. And he got extremely depressed.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well, it's almost where the creative, you feel an obligation to create at a certain level where your fans then dictate what the creative is supposed to be.
And you lose it. You lose the magic.
It was really interesting. I really appreciated that insight. He was very open and honest about it. And you almost, as someone who obviously, you know, neither one of us are at any we're not influencers. Oh. And so talking to someone who feels this obligation to these millions of people that he doesn't know and how that changes his inside.
Yeah.
And the only way he was able to get out was to get back to what got him there.
And how he got out was really fascinating for me. I think it was riveting. And what he told us was that he paused and took a moment and just decided, you know what? I'm just going to do things that make my friends laugh.
Yeah. One specific, right? I thought it was interesting. So he was creating video and content for one specific friend. I want to make this person really laugh, which was interesting.
And that healed him. It's fascinating. So he came full circle and kind of followed his joy, so to speak, and traveled back to what makes him happy, which is, I think, implicitly making people laugh. He may be a genuine comedian in a way.
Well, I think it's interesting because if you were to look at, which I did before recording that podcast, and you look at who he is as an influencer and what the content that he's producing, you would think he is one way as a human.
It's crazy.
But he's not. He's much more... I guess he's much more has much more depth than what I would have originally thought. I thought it was going to be more like stand up comedy, and I thought there was going to be more acting. And he really dove into like his story, and then also what it meant to be an influencer and how that impacts his
psyche. Reminds me of something. So when I was asking him if he'd do this with us, his first response is, "Yeah, I'll come in character."
I remember that. Yeah,
and then he changed his mind. I mean, because it's like, that's fine. Like, but let's talk about you. And he opened up, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot.
Very interesting conversation with him.
Yeah, for sure. I'm trying to. Who do we have after those? It was Jeff Garcia.
Oh, Jeff.
Jeff Garcia,
another San Jose State.
A Niner. Played for a number of different teams. I mean, playing quarterback in the NFL is probably by far the most difficult position, besides probably the nickel. But I mean, it's a very difficult and grinding decision. It's a very tough position to play. But I got to tell you, man, what I was shocked with is his willingness to share his personal life right off the jump.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
He led with the loss of his, not sibling, but siblings.
Yeah, two siblings.
And I don't know, like it was instantly, it was fascinating to me. It was riveting. I was in a way pleased that he'd be willing to share that. But God, what a story! And what was interesting to me there was also the role of football and the role of sports as it healed him and his father.
Yeah.
Like that was an interesting thing. I wonder if you would touch on that. Like,
yeah. Well, he was a lot of quarterbacks where their father is a football coach come out of that with a understanding of the game that's very unique.
Yeah.
And he certainly had that. And their relationship, I think, in a lot of ways helped both of them heal through that process. But it was interesting how quickly he was able to open up and kind of jump into some really deep things. I remember almost being startled by the answer of like, wow, normally we're just kind of asking questions to give the audience some sort of perspective on who we're talking to, some background, and kind of warm up to this. And we just said, he just said, fuck it, backflip right into the deep end. I'm gonna tell you exactly what, you know, but what started my
journey.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. I think with Jeff in the studio, you can feel his competitive spirit, passion, his intensity. And I thought that was one of my takeaways was, as he was talking about stories, he was remembering the detail in plays, in games.
Vividly.
And the other thing, too, it was almost, you know, we kind of made a joke about chip on shoulder, and he took that, and he really kind of, you could tell he like felt
but think about something this. Like that. Let's, I mean, we both grew up watching the 49ers. I mean, we got the golden years, man. We've had Guy McIntyre on the podcast, obviously, but I mean, you're following, come on, Joe Montana, Steve Young. I mean, what's your encore? Like, he was compared to arguably two of the best quarterbacks to ever play the fucking game.
Well, and honestly, if you look at his stats, he's still underrated as a Niner quarterback.
And he will never get that because he wasn't, you know, a certain
style of play. Yeah. But his style of play, God, I got to tell you, just
scrambler.
He's almost like he seems human, right? Sometimes quarterbacks,
a good point.
They seem unhuman, right? They just seem like they're large. Larger than life, they're all, you know. Anyway, he was a great interview because when you're talking to a, you know, an all-pro quarterback who played for that long and had that much success, I loved, like, my biggest takeaway was if you just listen to that interview, his demeanor and passion and his intensity. And it's funny because I follow him now on social media, and he's a head coach for his sons. Maybe it's tackle football, but he is intense. I think for basketball, for football, he's very involved with his children, and I love that about him. And he's super intense, and he wants to win just like it's the NFC Championship game. I mean, it's insane. I love it.
And like you said, you felt his intensity immediately.
Immediately, which great
really,
interview.
Really awesome.
Yep.
What's the next one here? We got, I'm on Brandy. Brandy Chastain. I mean, for me, she is such an impressive human. I don't even know where to start, but I'll one of the stories that will always be ingrained in my head, it's kind of twofold. So it's obviously I wanted to know, and she's probably been asked this a million times about that obviously kick that she's known for, right? Crushing the penalty kick. And so I think you're the one who asked her and
she almost asked it like, hey, I have to ask this. Like, I felt
it was
bad.
Apologetic because you knew how many possible times, and her response was so awesome. Yeah. It was, you know what? No, I love this question because every time it makes me think of something different. And then obviously her sharing that her coach whispered in her ear to kick with the opposite foot. I mean, we've been watching the World Cup here. We've seen games go down the penalty kicks.
Yeah.
And for the trust of that coach and player, first of all, the coach knowing that the player is going to be able to perform, and for the player to trust the coach, I don't know where you go with that, but I'd like your take on it.
So my takeaway was not necessarily what her interpretation of the story at that point was, because if you haven't heard it, you have to. It's so good. But what my takeaway is at this point for our recap is we all have these stories, and it's not maybe not necessarily what you would remember in your life, but it actually, there is some therapeutic maybe component to retelling these stories. And you literally, since that interview, I have told stories that I've told before, and I enjoy telling them because I do remember them in different ways. And I exaggerate anyway. So I actually,
well, any good story is 30% fiction.
So I know that. Well, so I start exaggerating and telling the story even better you know, the 400th time. But I think it does go to, you have to be able to tell your own story.
Yeah.
And telling your own story multiple times, you do remember things a little bit differently because your perspective over the years changes. You can remember a certain aspect of that story in a different way. And I think the ability to tell your own story uniquely and then remember it and have it be impactful to you is something that people can do and improve on and appreciate in a way that I don't think a lot of people do.
I think storytelling in general
is
undervalued.
Absolutely.
If you can be a good storyteller, you can engage someone. It goes back to what the sleep was. You can grow business. You can literally grow business if you're a good storyteller.
Yeah. I will tell you, so for her, just as in the background, she was about to catch a flight. So we were under a really strict time.
Man, I want her back.
So we're sitting there and we are at the edge of our seat asking her every single question. Her answers were
so riveting.
We're not, it's almost like having a favorite child. You're not supposed to say which one your favorite child is. She was my favorite interview. She was incredible when it came to that. And I remember being done because we only had 37 minutes and on the 37th minute, we had to cut it. So anyway, that was incredible.
Definitely worth a watch.
It's a great 37
minutes.
By
the way, she's getting a total knee done in a couple days.
Okay.
So good luck to you out there, Brandy. Hope you heal fast. Then maybe after she heals, she'll come back and you know.
There's something about vitamin D for healing. So come on down to San Diego.
Yeah, sunshine, baby.
Good. All right. So we got one more.
One more, man. I was I got to tell you, I was thrilled with this interview. George Whitfield. I mean, I knew him back from my NFL agent days as a true quarterback whisperer, to be honest. Yep. Like, I always heard of him. I never used him, but I only worked with one quarterback in my entire career. But with that being said, the one thing that that I remember was the story he told about, I think he brought a group of athletes. It might have been to a Navy SEAL camp or something. It's military context. It might have been Navy, which is, I believe it is Navy SEALs, right? Whatever.
Yeah.
The point was, this one player raises his hand and goes, look, man, I have this guy on my team, and he just is a fucking slacker. He won't fucking, you know, you run gassers and he's the last guy to finish the thing. You ask him to get to the film on time and he just makes it to the door. And then all of a sudden the collective wisdom of the players at that moment was like, yeah, I have this guy who's a slouch too. He's a real fucking jackass. Just drags his ass all the time. And everybody was rah-rahing. And then the captain went back to the person that, you know, traded this story of his complaint and said, yeah, well, you're the quarterback. You're the leader of the team. Have you ever asked? Do you know any way, like, what this guy is about? Do you know what's going on in his family life? Do you know why maybe he's tired? Have you asked him what exactly it is that he's done outside of the game? Like, what is your problem? If you're the leader, you're the one that needs to know him. And that's what leading is, and it goes to your testament of what I want to ask you right now, which is, you know, you really like to focus on this concept of whether a leader is born with it or leading can be taught.
And born or bred.
Yeah, born or bred. And that whole story kind of shaped it for me. But what's your perspective?
Well, I will
on
tell you, I bet you that quarterback changed his entire leadership lifetime because of that moment.
Point and moment.
That's kind of the interesting part about it. And so I'm a big believer in that. There are certain aspects of leadership that you can be born with, and there are certain leaders that just are natural at it. Mm-hmm. However, I think in large part it is bred, and I do think it's learned. I think it's for the leaders that actually care enough to learn, and I think that's part of being a leader. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I thought with George's interview is he is around quarterbacks as a profession.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really interesting how in tune he was with what a really good quarterback looks like, what their qualities, both from a physical and a mental standpoint, what they look like. And so he was able to interwove like the Johnny Manziel stories.
Oh, that was phenomenal.
And then at the end, it's playing out in front of our eyes, because this was several months ago. And he just said, you know what? You know who's going to shock the world? Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
And we both kind of looked at each other like,
because this is the beginning of the season. We're like, okay, maybe, I hadn't really heard.
I think the season hadn't even started yet. And this guy's going to win the MVP. And it was just amazing that he has this eye and this ability to read through every one of these quarterbacks who's, you know, they're alpha, they're leaders, they're everyone looks to them. And he just could pinpoint on who was going to be elite.
I'll never forget what he said about Jalen. He said, Jalen would sit down and ask me, what am I missing?
Yeah.
What can I do better? And literally, that's what the type of person that Jalen is. He's a true, how do I make, this doesn't make sense to me. How do I get better? How do I lead? And that was fascinating to me. It was just fascinating.
That is it's because quarterbacks are just genuinely looked at as leaders because of their position.
Right.
And there's a lot of people in business that are looked at as leaders because of their position.
Interesting.
But as someone who is an actual developer of these people, he was able to extract the best of the best of the best, meaning there's 32 NFL quarterbacks. Well, these are the things that I look for that I want to instill in the kids that I teach and train. And I thought just as a from somebody who's interviewing him, he was incredible. Ask him a question.
Engaging, yeah.
He will give you the most incredible answer, and then you're just sitting at the edge of your seat, and he lights the room up. Boy, I tell you, when those lights come on, he is as entertaining and dynamic as you will find, which was a great kind of segue into rapping for us, which was a small season. So I'll kind of go back and forth before we end here. We'll talk. It's the end of the year. It's 2022. This is our second season. Yeah. So what do you want to see in 2023. We've decided we're going to continue to do this. We've gotten enough both from us personally to the enjoyment of actually having a podcast together and to bring in really elite people. What do you want to see from this podcast in 2023?
You know what? One thing is the consistency of what's happened in both season one and season two. And let me tell you what's most special. There hasn't been one scenario where a guest that we've had on hasn't either gone on to do something very special, or we've actually even had the opportunity to join in either a business venture or something really, really fun that happens. And I want that to continue. And I think for whatever reason, the people that we choose just go on and continue to do very fucking special things.
Yeah.
And I want that to remain. I just want it to be consistent. The other thing is I think we need to focus on really dedicating ourselves to try to get two guests a month. I think that the consistency there will be better. Now, granted, there's always scheduling snafus and yada yada, but you know what? When it comes to that, that's called excuses, and we don't play that game, right? Yeah. And so I think that we need to rededicate ourselves to a system where we really try to get the two guests per month.
Discipline.
Yeah.
Yep. And we run, and our goal is every other Friday. So the goal for 2023 is 24 guests every other Friday. We got to commit to that. Well, I will tell you, it was a pleasure. We had a really good time. After every episode, we sit and I will, you know, I guess from a how this podcast is created or what we do is that it's always kind of a clusterfuck in getting everybody organized and scheduled. So that's why we've had so few episodes this year. However, what we do after the episode is you and I take about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And usually it's either before we go out and entertain some of the guests, but it's about 20 minutes and it says, hey, what did I do good? What did I do bad? What is your take on how this interview went and what can we do better in the future? And I will tell you, it felt like for you and I, that when we were organized with, hey, let's outline this thing.
Yeah.
Let's have some sort of structure. Because in the beginning, what we were doing is like, hey, let's just sit there and bullshit for an hour.
Yeah.
And that's fun. But I think we're able to extract more from the guests and get more from the guests from both the personal perspective, but also what people can glean from some of the things that they're not paying attention to.
I think structure is important. I agree with you. But at the same time, I think the balance is, and this is where the art.
Oh, no, this is where your and I balance comes from. Yeah. So I'm more structured and disciplined and you're more
the concept of organic. Because there's been times I remember Louis Ziskin having lunch with him. Right before to just kind of get to know him a little. And then, some of the things he said at lunch, I'm like, God damn it.
You know,
you want that on camera. And you may or may not have it again. But I agree with you. Structure definitely helps. But at the same time, there's an art to structure where you have to allow for a little bit of agility within the context of the podcast. Well,
and let me end the whole season with a compliment to you. Huh. Yeah, you were really shitty when you started. And I would just like to say you are less shitty now.
That is the best compliment you've ever given to me as a friend and a business partner.
Oh,
thank you.
Oh, but
thank
that's you. It, you've never heard that before in football. So this is your first.
I heard it once.
Yeah. Yeah. Tony runs. He runs sound and audio. Tony, will you for the last part just give us a little film on this one, and we're gonna sign off. Phone it in, and we're gonna sign off with a toast. All right. So this is to the end of 2022, both from a annual perspective, but also from a podcast perspective. We knocked it out. We only did 7 episodes, but we did it.
We're gonna do one more, right?
So thank everybody for listening. Yeah. Tune in next year. We're gonna hopefully have really exciting guest lineup, and then we're going to do it with a lot more consistency.
Yeah,
and then we're even going to let Wynn with his semi-creative, organic feel to it all. So cheers, everybody. Happy New Year. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the support, and we'll see you next year.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. Cheers.
Cheers, brother.